I got a problem. It's big, and only you can solve it.
Fine.
You know how I always call into the Dom Lippo radio show?
The sports guy?
Yeah, he talks about hockey, and I have very strong opinions about minor league professional hockey, as we all do.
Tell the story.
Right. Yesterday, I called in to say it's a bad trade, and we got in a fight, and Lippo banned me from his show.
You got banned for fighting about a sport where the best part is the fighting?
What do you want me to do about it?
I want you to call into the show and finish making my argument.
No.
But I did more research, and if I win the argument, he'll have to unban me.
Banned from most radio stations ourselves, this is The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
And while we're on hold for 45 minutes, I can teach you everything you need to know about hockey.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
The Awesome Game is my book about hockey. And if you like hockey, I know that you will love it. And even if you don't like hockey, you'll love it. Even if you don't like sports, I still think that you should read it, of course. So literary classics, so put it in your basket at your local bookstore. It's available in all formats, even one I never...
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have you with us tonight as we have a fantastic guest we want to talk to. Jason is off tonight. Got a couple other things going on, so we're going to talk to our guest tonight, and we're not going to waste any time. Let's get right to him, because legitimately, he wears many hats. He's a comedian, he's a radio host, he's a musician, he's an actor, he's a hockey star, despite his... He'll probably deny that, but we think he is. And our reason for chatting with him tonight is he's a writer, as his new book, The Awesome Game, published by Penguin Random House, hit bookstore shelves, on Tuesday. In this author's book, he asks virtually everyone he meets why hockey isn't more popular in the U.S., a quest that will take him literally to countries around the world and his need for an answer. Beyond that, though, The Awesome Game has some fantastic moments of laughter, some excellent hockey insight, and it's just a fun read about one man's journey to watch hockey. I thoroughly enjoyed the read that he provided. Found myself laughing at a number of his experiences, his adventures. I mean, he's been all over the place in this book. And I literally feel I know enough about him now to have a legitimate hockey discussion with him. So who is this mystery author? Well, tonight on The Hockey Show, we are proud, we are honored, privileged, humbled, and pleased to welcome Mr. Dave Hill to the program. Dave, how's everything going?
Great. Thanks for having me. I'm here in Toronto today.
Yeah. How's life going in Toronto for you in terms of being in our big city?
Good. Yeah. You know, I'm having a good time doing a lot, you know, talking about the book a lot and seeing some friends here in town. So, yeah.
Cool. A little different than New York City in terms of how Toronto operates. Yeah.
it's similar. I mean, I love Toronto. I mean, I love Canada in general. It's like maybe a little more low key here in Toronto, and which I really like, you know.
Okay. That's good. I mean, glad to hear that things are going well. Yeah. Again, I'll say it again. I had a blast reading The Awesome Game. What prompted you to sort of jump into the, you know, into the hockey realm and add your name to the likes of Dryden, Plimpton, Brunt when it comes to, you know, must read hockey literature here?
You know, it was just like, I think, you know, I've been lucky enough in my career that I'm able to, most of the things I love, I sort of work them into my career. That's part of my job, you know, comedy, music, and writing and things like that. But hockey is like the one thing I always dreamt of, you know, as a kid, like so many kids, you know, dreamt of being like an NHL player and all that.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know, it's the one area in my life where I've never lived out any of my hockey dreams. So I was like, well, at the very least I can, do a deep dive into the subject and explore it and you know, get my publisher to pay for me to go check out some awesome hockey games around the world. And also, you know, as an American, as a guy from Cleveland that has, you know, only had an NHL team for 2 years.
Right.
You know, my frustration growing up as a kid in Cleveland, where, you know, not a lot of kids were into hockey, and I loved it so much, and I really had zero interest in any other sports. You know, I'm kind of like a hockey is just really the one sport, you know, like I wasn't like a jock or anything, and mm-hmm. but it was like the one sport I just really loved and got into playing and watching, and then also as an American, just being so frustrated that it's not more popular, you know, coming here to Canada. I love just being able to walk down the street and you look in a bar and there's a TV on, there's a hockey game. Like that's like in America, that doesn't happen. Like unless it's a dedicated hockey bar,
right.
then you'll see the game on. But in general, even in New York, you know, where the Rangers play one subway stop away from me, if I go out, you know, to a bar in my neighborhood and I'm like, oh, can you put the Rangers game on? They're just kind of like, what? You know, they're just like, what they're playing, what channel would that be? And, you know, they just don't, the interest isn't there. Someone said this to me the other day, they're like, in New York, you know, there'd be 18,000 people at every game, but those are the only 18,000 people who care about hockey, you know.
Right, yeah.
No one else, you know, you don't see people walking around in Rangers gear around New York, and I think that's very sad.
Yeah, you made that comment in your book that, you know, the two people on the subway were like the only two people with Rangers gear on. So, I mean, that was kind of funny. But, I mean, again, yeah. We'll get into your book a little bit here in terms of where you're going with this. Because you said, you know, born and raised in Cleveland, your first hockey experiences were watching the Barons out at Richfield Coliseum, excuse me.
Yeah.
There's talk of places, again, you know, right now in the NHL circles, Quebec City, Houston, Salt Lake City, and somehow for a third time, Atlanta may be getting expansion teams in the near future. I'll ask you the honest question. Should Cleveland be in that discussion?
Yeah, 1,000%. I mean, Columbus has had a team for a long time now. And people always, they assume that I must root for Columbus. But, like, that's the last team I would root for. Because I'm just like, screw those guys. Why do they have a team and Cleveland doesn't? I mean, like, if Cleveland had a team, like, that would probably be all it would take for me to move back there. I mean, there's the minor league team, there's the Monsters,
right,
but yeah. You know, the NHL, you know, I would love for it to happen. And you know, I will say I would be psyched if Quebec Nordiques came back. I would be I'm a huge, you know, greatest NHL jersey of all time in my opinion, or top, you know.
I was gonna say, you're not gonna get an argument from me. I love that baby blue jersey as well, so yeah.
Yeah, it's a crazy, you know, it's like an igloo playing hockey, which is it's just like kind of trippy and weird and insane, really, the more you think about it.
I mean, I'm not going to deny that. I think it's fantastic that, you know, some of the older, you know, again, people just don't know it's an igloo half the time. They're just like, what is that thing or whatever, right? Like, it doesn't look like an ant, it doesn't look like anything. But I mean, yeah. Telling them it's an igloo with a hockey stick sort of leaning against it, people are like, what? How do you get
that?
Yeah,
it's insane. I mean, it looks so cool, but it's also, when you think about it, it's so weird that, you know, whoever designed that was like, here, it's an, yeah, what do you think? And they're like, yeah, let's do it.
I had a laugh when you were talking about playing high school hockey with St. Ignatius.
Yeah.
You wore Cooperalls, which, again, almost unheard of in terms of, you know, kids wearing them nowadays. Obviously nobody has them, and I mean they were sort of that flash in the pan 1 year sort of thing. But what did you think of Cooperalls when you were wearing them?
They were horrible. I mean, they weren't even Cooperalls, it was another brand, it was the same thing.
Yeah,
I think they were called Flax, FLAK, as I remember.
Okay.
And yeah, they're horrible. Like when you fall down, you just keep sliding. They were the dumbest invention. I don't know. Yeah. Like if you went down on the ice, you couldn't stop.
Right,
you had to kind of like do a half push up and dig your skates into the ice. It was just, and you know, we were pretty bad.
Yeah.
Our team the year, you know, that was my freshman year. And I was like, 100 pounds, and you know, but hockey, again, you know, it's like weirdly, I was weirdly pretty good at it, so I made the varsity as a freshman. So I was this little 100 pound kid playing with these 200 pound kids, and just sliding all over the place. It's very sad. Very sad.
That's okay. I mean, like I said, I just wasn't sure. Because again, I never got to experience them. So I wanted to know what your thoughts were on them. But that's cool. Yeah.
They did have, like, you could remove the lower part. Yeah. You know, you could unzip them, the our version that we had. And then, so I think after one season of wearing these stupid long pants, and we were the only team in the league that had them too, like in my local high school league in Cleveland, Ohio. You know, so we looked weird and stupid. And then the following year, we started wearing socks again.
That's okay. There you go. You guys were back into, at least into on vogue with the fashion at that point.
Yeah.
Let's start with your adventure in Poland, because I thought that was an excellent chapter with your wife's cousin, Al Rogers, who was playing net over there, playing goal over there. I thought this chapter was particularly interesting, specifically because of your hockey experiences in Katowice, which, I mean, again, I've seen, you know, obviously people go over there. I've, you know, seen pictures from there, but describe the experience in watching that live hockey in Poland. Cause I mean, the description you gave in the awesome game made it sound like it was an absolute trip to see how they react to hockey over there.
It really was. I mean, my sister-in-law's cousin's son, Al Rogers, was playing. He had like a two-way deal. There's two pro teams. They used to both be in the top, you know, Polish hockey league, and then one got relegated to the lower one. But so, you know, I go over there and I have no idea what to expect. First of all, you know, so I was kind of fishing for like free tickets. So I was like, what should I do? Should I buy a ticket? And he's like, just go buy a ticket. You'll see. So to their version of the NHL, the ticket was like less than $5.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I think I spent on the night ticket, three beers, three waters was less than $20. But when I go, so the first night, the first team I went to see GKS Katowice play Krakow, and I'm walking up to the rink and like there's all these guys outside and they're just kind of like looking at me like I'm like, I think they want to kick my ass. And I later like hung out with some of the players a couple nights later and I told them this and they're like, yeah, they were sizing you up, like seeing if they felt you needed your ass kicked. And fortunately they spared me. But yeah, we went in. So I went in there by myself and with the hooligans, cause they're the hockey fans in Poland. They're like soccer hooligans. They're like running around the streets all day, chanting, like bumping into people, like just trying to start stuff. And you know, they're just, so I was hoping that they'd put me on their side, but I think that, you know, the people working at the arena were like, this guy's never going to make it. So they put me on the side with like families, like small children, old ladies, you know. But it was amazing. They're just chanting and going nuts the whole time. Like even in between, you know, it'd be the first period break and I'd be in line getting a beer and you'd hear like the chanting still going so nuts that you would swear like, oh, this must be like the final 30 seconds of the last game of the Stanley Cup tie game. It was just bonkers.
I mean, that's incredible to hear that they're that passionate about it over there.
Yeah, yeah. I hate to say it, kind of spoiled me going to games over there. I went to games in Finland. The Finnish fans weren't quite as insane,
right?
But super fired up. And then, you know, to go to a game in the U.S. or Canada, I'm like, oh man, it's a little sleepy compared to Europe. Where it's, I mean, just like nonstop chanting and flag, like they're in the stands with like a massive, you know, huge flag that's like has to be blocking about 100 people's view.
That's cool.
It was just, and in Poland, like you would look away and then look over to the hooligan side and they'd be like holding this massive banner that went the whole length of their side of the rink. It was nuts.
We need more of that in North America for sure. So,
yeah.
I mean, you found out that one of the players there also played in the Polish offseason in Australia, which, I mean, is something, I guess, completely different for people that may not know, but we've been following the Melbourne Mustangs all season after a former Manitoba Bisons goalie played there this season. So we've been sort of tracking his progress. They ended up winning. He ended up being playoff MVP. Like, fantastic work by Liam Hughes over there. But will there be a volume two of the awesome game where you get to go to Australia and experience the game? Because apparently they do things quite well down there.
Yeah, I mean, I would love it. I would be thrilled if there was a sequel to the awesome game, because there, you know, I could. It's endless, you know, the places where, you know, to go to Australia, or like, you know, they play in like the Himalayas,
yeah,
you know, and it's just all over the world. You know, I'd been talking to a team in Colombia about coming down there.
Oh, wow,
and. And I really, you know, it just ended up like in just getting the book done and just, you know, the budget's the expense of going all these places. Unfortunately, I had to pump the brakes at one point. And, but yeah, there's just so many, I mean, Japan, and even, you know, having been to games in Finland, you know, and like there's a league in Estonia, and then I'm told like the Latvian fans are supposed to be the craziest of them all. So having seen Poland, if there are fans that are crazier than that, I have to go.
That sounds like a blast. One of the coolest places, or maybe the hottest, that you went to was Nairobi, Kenya, which I thought was an incredible chapter as well. You met the Kenya Ice Lions, their national team. And from the way you described it in the awesome game, it sounds like the Ice Lions are literally building the hockey community in that country from scratch. Would that be accurate to sort of describe it?
Oh, without question. I mean, they're the only team in the whole country. They play, there's one rink in the whole country in Nairobi there. And
okay.
I guess it started from like Canadian expats were playing in this rink. And then my friend Ali Kilanga, who is kind of the elder statesman of the Kenya Ice Lions, and yet still younger than I am. he's like, oh, we should play, you know? And so I guess about 2016, they started playing and like learning about the game. And there's like, you can't buy hockey equipment in Kenya, like
right,
you're saying, like everything comes from North America. And it's pretty amazing. Like their rink was closed when I went, because they're, you know, sort of just post COVID, and it ended up opening like 2 weeks after I left, which I was not pleased about, that I missed that. But so they're like, oh, we're playing roller hockey until then. So, you know, if you want to play roller hockey with us, that's cool. And I'd used rollerblades, but I'd never played roller hockey. And I just kind of assumed like, oh, my amazing yet extremely rusty ice hockey skills would translate to roller hockey. They did not. And I really just got my ass kicked for like literally 5 hours straight. And there's the Kenya Ice Lions, and then there's the Kenya Ice Cubs, which is like the kid, they're all like teenagers. So I go there, and first of all, I'm like super hungover, because I've been going out with these guys, you know, much younger, you know, than I am. They're showing me around, and everywhere, if you go to a bar in Kenya and you order a beer, they bring you two beers every time, unless you beg them like, please, just one beer. So like, definitely just drank too much beer in the lead up to finally playing with the Kenya. I was in rough shape, and I was like literally like 20, in some cases 30 years younger. I mean, 30 years older, you know, because as it wore on, they started letting some of the ice cubs. So like, maybe like 15-year-old kids just like skating circles around me in this parking lot. And, you know, went on, I think by hour three, I was ready to drop. And I asked one of the players, I was like, how long do you guys play? And they're like, we play until we can't see the ball anymore. And I was just like, oh God. And there's like, you know, birds of prey kind of like circling above us. And I swear they're just like waiting for me to drop so they can attack my dead body. But it was an amazing experience to go there and hang out with these guys and just bond over. I mean, it was just really a testament to like what a great connector hockey is, that you can go, you know, to the other side of the world and there's,
right,
you know, guys who are into this and getting really good at it. Like, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, as the game grows, like there'll be an NHL player from Nairobi one day. So yeah, it was like, these guys were really good.
Well, you'd mentioned Johnny Oduya has, you know, has that African roots and has Kenyan roots in terms of where he comes from, and he was helping get some of the equipment there. So,
yeah, yeah, he's been a big, you know, he's half Swedish, half Kenyan, and he helps those guys out a lot, which is awesome.
I mean, I was sort of reading about the roller hockey part of it and sort of laughing about it because it got me thinking to the old Roller Hockey International that ran from like 93 to 99 in North America. Some of the crazy teams, some of the logos. Again, if it was operating today, would there be Dave Hill sightings at like a New Jersey Rock and Rollers game, for example? Would you go see roller hockey, or are you more of an ice hockey purist?
I mean, I'm more of an ice hockey fan, but I would go check out roller hockey. I'd be into that.
I think it would be interesting because I mean, we didn't have a team here in Winnipeg, which was fine, but I mean, I thought it was always cool to see it on TV. So.
Yeah, yeah, I would totally go check that out. I mean, I prefer, you know, I like being in a cold rink and just the stank of a hockey rink. There's that unmistakable funk of any hockey arena where, you know, you're like, it's part, I don't know, chemicals and maybe a little bit of urine.
I totally agree. There is beer, that it's a distinctive smell, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Many, many fluids, right and wrong, melding together, whatever it is.
In an alternate universe, maybe in retirement, who knows, Dave Hill returns to Nairobi where he becomes a Matatu owner and driver. You were impressed with these. What would be your motif on your Matatu, Dave, if you owned one and or drove one?
Oh, that's a really good question. I mean, I don't, maybe Quebec Nordiques. Maybe that's the way to go.
There you
or,
go.
Or, you know, or maybe old school Winnipeg Jets. You know, the first, I mean, that's a pretty sweet logo as well. Maybe one of those two. Or you know, Kenya Ice Lions.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe it is all my favorite logos, you know, Sudbury Wolves. Tampere Ilves in Finland, and just tons of blood dripping.
Just have just a red background. Is that?
Yeah, I think that. I mean, these things, like, it was, I couldn't believe it. Like these buses that they're like vans and buses that you take around Nairobi, and they're just randomly painted with stuff. You're like, how? And this is like their public transportation.
Yeah.
And it's just like, they'll be like, you know, who's the Colombian drug lord that from the Narcos show? They have like one like just celebrating a Colombian drug dealer, or they'll have like one. There was one that was all just for
Escobar. There we go.
Escobar. Pablo Escobar. Yeah. Yeah. There was a Pablo Escobar one. There would be like a religion, you know, there'd be like a Jesus, you know, and Mary one, there'd be like, there was one that was all just Snoop Dogg, that Snoop Dogg movie Soul Plane. It was a whole bus inexplicably painted with Soul Plane images on it. And you get on these things and they just kind of, you just walk by them and they try to get you to jump on them, even if you had no plans on going wherever they were going. And then they kind of, they take off like, it's quite an experience.
You had mentioned, you know, obviously Estonia and Latvia, places you want to go. Your trip to Finland actually became sort of it was only for an afternoon, but a trip to Finland and Estonia as you explored Tallinn across the Gulf of Finland there.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the city? What'd you think of the town in terms of it? I mean, it's been described as more of a culturally traditional country, just in terms of how they sort of respect, you know, individual cultures and stuff. But what was your experience and impression of the city over there?
In Estonia,
yeah,
it was beautiful. I mean, it was It was pretty amazing. I was there for, maybe 24 hours, and it was just a beautiful. There's like the old town, like the castles and things, and I mean, there were just the Estonian women, were just stunning, like stunningly beautiful. And so that I enjoyed that aspect of it. Very like I don't know, it's weird, kind of going through European countries and just kind of seeing like what, there's a lot of, there'll be just like old military stuff mixed with like just refrigerator magnets, just selling all manner of things everywhere. But it was awesome. I wish I could have spent more time, but I had to get back to Finland to watch. I had bought hockey tickets, and my buddy Dan Dratch that came with me, he stayed behind another day, and he was able to explore a bit more than I did. But it was pretty great. I really want to get back there, and I really want to see, they just I couldn't work it out to be there when there was a hockey game. I think it's like HC Panter is the team in
Yeah.
that
They're
league.
I believe they're the defending champs in their Estonian league as well. So yeah.
But like those, that league, they don't play nearly as many games, so it's not like the NHL where if you're in that city for like a few days, you're definitely going to catch a game.
Quickly noticed, and certainly it caught the attention of Dan as well, the metallic helmets worn by players in Finland. Who leads the team in scoring, and their 20 player who leads the team in scoring on each team. Now, we've seen like Vegas do it. We've seen the Los Angeles Kings wear the metallic helmets in games as well. Should more NHL teams opt for that look as part of their uniform, or should that be more of an exclusive European sort of feature for hockey, and basically what Teemu Selänne called the hit me helmet?
It was weird because I had no idea what was going on, but the very first game, there's a player on each team who has a gold helmet, and like I saw it and I was like, who's this jerk? Like, why would you be like, yeah, you guys go ahead and wear red helmets. I'm gonna wear a gold one if that's cool. And then but it go whoever's the top scorer on the team wears it, and but yeah, it's like begging, like let's get that guy. And then there's another team like called the U20 helmet, which is Red Bull. It's like Red Bull and it's silver, Red Bull logo and it's silver, and it made me really sad because it goes to the I think the highest score under 20, and it just reminded me of my own mortality because I was just like, oh, I'm more than twice as old as like by a long shot. I'm like well over twice as old as this whoever's wearing that helmet.
Should more NHL teams look at metallic helmets though? Do you think that's a good look?
I think so. I mean I'm conflicted, but in Finland every surface of the player is covered in ads. They look like NASCAR drivers out there. They're just like covered, like their butts, the back of their gloves, every possible surface has an ad. And so I wanted to buy a Tampere Ilves jersey when I got there, and I was like, I gotta get like the authentic player jersey. But so there's the jersey without the ads, and then there's the authentic player one that has the ads, and that's like they're the same jersey, but the jersey with the ads is like $100 more because it's covered in all these patches. And I was gonna get that, and my buddy Dan is like, you're gonna spend $100 more just to wear ads? And I was like, well, when you put it that way, I guess maybe I won't. But it does look pretty cool in sort of a crazed way.
I mean, I think that they're fairly unique just because, again, they have all those ads all over them, and each team's got a different, placement for X, Y, and Z in terms of those ads. But we've seen NHL teams go ads on helmets, ads on one singular ad on jerseys. Do you feel that's a little blasphemous considering, as you put it, the timelessness of a lot of those jerseys?
I do. I mean, it does make me sad. I mean, even though I think it looks cool in Europe, I guess when I see it in the NHL, I think it looks kind of pathetic. And same thing, like, you know, in Europe, they've had ads on the boards for decades, but it's, you know, it's been going on for a while in the NHL, but like when it started, I was like, oh, this is kind of sad. Because, I mean, I pretty much football, basketball, and baseball don't do that. So like, it just to me looks like the league is struggling. When I see those ads on a helmet, and it's always like not like an ad for anything remotely cool, it's like lame stuff. But I don't like how arenas are branded. You know, I'm like literally out my window here in my hotel in Toronto, there's the Scotiabank Arena,
right? Yeah.
And it's just like, that's lame. Like, call it Maple Leafs Arena.
But I mean, it goes back to like Madison Square Garden, right? Like, I mean, if somebody ever slapped a different name on MSG, people would probably riot at that point, right?
Yeah, because it's one of the few few like kind of classic arenas left in the United States. You know, most of them are gone by the wayside.
Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, I miss the Toronto, you know, the Maple Leaf Gardens. I miss the, you know, the Montreal Forum, like, where it actually was, it felt like the community owned that arena as opposed to some company owning that arena.
Yeah. And I guess the logic is that like it burns the whatever company, like, you know, they puts them in your brain or whatever. But my reaction is always like, okay, I hate this company and I don't want it. You know, I will not purchase whatever they're selling.
So you took in three games in Finland. Again, fantastic chapter of hockey action in that chapter. One that included Ilves, which, I mean, again, you were thoroughly excited to get everything going. Did you know, and again, you probably do because you've researched this a lot, but 93 to 99, the team actually retired that logo you love so much.
Oh, well, I did. Yeah, I didn't realize that. I mean, I knew that they do have an alternate logo.
Yeah,
that is not as good. It's still pretty cool, but I didn't realize they retired it. I mean, I've researched it a bit. I think it goes back to like the 60s or something, but it's badass logo, but it looks like it was drawn by a child. Like which in a way I mean that as high praise, like,
right,
it's like some slick, you know, clean lined logo that we're used to seeing, like, especially, you know, in the NHL.
Roald Brahms is the artist that designed that. So I don't know if he's done anything else, but whatever.
Well, so, it's the only thing he did,
it's good. Yeah, it's good. I can't deny it. I mean, would Dave Hill have rioted in 93 in Finland if he found out that they were, again, the reason they were retiring is because they wanted to modernize the logo.
Yeah.
Not just changing it because we've got new ownership or whatever, you know, it's modernizing it. And then popular opinion brought it back. So, I mean, I got to ask, would you have rioted in 93 if you were over there?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't like, I mean, I can't really think of any logo that, you know, has ever been, you know, improved by like, oh, let's modernize it. I mean, like, you go right down the line, like, LA Kings had that awesome, you know, the purple and gold jerseys with the crown. That was an amazing jersey. And then Gretzky comes, they change the colors, make the logo suck. And their logo gets worse and worse with every iteration. I don't know what, it's horrible. And, you know, Buffalo, you know, I really like the classic Buffalo Sabres logo. But the alternate one with like the sort of stylized, that sucks.
Well, I mean, Buffalo's had like four different logos in the last decade. Like, they had that crazy yellow, the slug kind of thing or whatever for a while.
Oh yeah.
And then they had the Buffalo head that you were, you know, sort of looking at or whatever. And then they went back to the Buffalo over top of the two Sabres, which everybody was like, okay, finally, like, bring it back because it's the best one. So.
Yeah, it's a great logo. And it's just very direct. There's a buffalo and then there's Sabres.
It says everything. Exactly. You don't need to say anything more on that. You had a chance to speak to a handful of NHL legends in this book. I was literally quite impressed with some of the names that you got, because Slava Fetisov is one of the guys he spoke to. Brian Trache, who, I mean, is incredible. I've heard him speak and talk to him a little bit. And then Len Frigg, who played with the Barons. Again, having met Trache, I can attest to him being an incredible human being, so I'm not going to deny that. But I got to ask you, knowing that you talked to these guys, had a little bit of a relationship with them now, who would be your fantasy line mates if you had to line up for one shift in the NHL? Who would the other guys be on your lines?
Like defender,
defender, goalies, and winger, if you want to play center.
Oh, gosh. I mean, of all time?
Sure, yeah. If you can select anybody you want. I'll say that.
Okay. On defense, we have Dennis Potvin and Bobby Orr.
Okay.
In goal, we have, let's just go full. Oh, like maybe Tony Esposito.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, though I could name a million goalies.
Oh, yeah,
and for then
sure.
For line mates, maybe Guy Lafleur and Marc Messier.
Okay.
Maybe.
I mean, that's
maybe
a good line.
Yeah. I think that would be pretty hot. Pretty, or I don't know. I mean, if Rocket Richard. I mean, there. I could do this all
yeah,
day.
Yeah, you could sit there exactly. I just didn't know if there was like five guys that were like those are my guys, sort of thing or whatever. But I mean, you
no, gotta... it would be hard. I mean, I didn't put Gretzky because you know I don't want to you know so anyone stealing the spotlight from me out there.
Well, he'd be second line center to you anyway. So
exactly, and you know obviously those other guys I mentioned they would let me shine out there.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So that's no problem with that. Again, you had a chance to speak to one of our favorite people in the book, Venla Hovi, former Manitoba Bison star with the women's team here, and then Finnish Olympian, obviously. She's done a ton of work for her home country at that point. Yeah. The announcement of the PWHL, though, is something that's sort of come down the pipe and certainly going to be a game changer for women's hockey, just as, you know, CWHL before that, NWHL, PHF after them. Will we see Dave Hill attending any of the New York Chapters games this season in terms of watching some women's hockey?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm a big fan and I think it's cool that, you know, they were able to establish the new league and I had hoped to, you know, Venla Hovi was coaching the Metropolitan Riveters,
right,
who play out in New Jersey. And I was, they don't play that many games, so like just in the schedule of, you know, by the time I was talking to her, like it was like, oh man, the book was due. So I was able to talk to her, which was amazing. But I, you know, at one point we were talking about like maybe I could come out to a practice and they would let me you know, skate a few laps with them, and so I could take a beating from yet another team. but maybe if I do book two, that'll happen.
If you want, I mean, we know the coach that's coaching out in both in Ottawa, Carlo McLeod, and the coach that's coaching out in New York, Howie Draper. They used to coach out here in Western Canada for the university circuit out here. So if you need a contact, we can probably get you a name if you want to try and work that into book number two for sure.
Oh, I would love it.
I think Carlo would die in terms of having that kind of fun, in terms of, you know, somebody coming out and celebrity coming out and joining her team for a practice or two.
Yeah, that would be a blast. Just go out and, you know, take a couple shots from the blue line or whatever.
Yeah.
It'd be really fun.
You mentioned in the book you wanted to see more Canadian junior games at some point as well. You were out in Gatineau and Peterborough to catch a couple games there. Are there cities that you started scouting for that trip yet? Or do you sort of have, I'll look at that, and you know, when the time comes sort of idea?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get to any WHL games, so I would really want to do that. I'm hoping to get to I'm going to be in Edmonton in January, so
okay.
I think it should align that I can see an Oil Kings game. I think that would be pretty cool. I mean, you know, Calgary Hitmen, any I just really want to get to a W. What now, the Winnipeg team is,
we had a team and then they left, unfortunately. They're now the Wenatchee Wild down in the States. They left this summer because they didn't build an arena that was suitable for the WHL. So WHL said, you're done.
Oh man. I'm sorry to hear that.
But Brandon's just down the road. Brandon has a strong team. And I mean, we know a couple guys that sort of work for that team or whatever. So if you were looking to get in for a game, certainly got to get you talk to Rob's their media guy. He worked with us at the university as well. So
That'd be amazing. Well, maybe you can help me with this.
Sure.
Just last week, I had this idea. I put it on my Instagram. My new goal with the book out now is I want to play the national anthem, Canadian or American, ideally at an NHL game.
Okay.
For an NHL game. But, you know, like a player has to themselves, you know, I'm happy to work up from the minors, do a WHL, you know, do a minor league game, junior game or whatever, and then work my way up to the big show. But I really, I put a short like clip of me doing the American anthem just to prove that I could do it. Because what I really want to do is do it on skates. So I put a montage, me playing the anthem and then me skating and shooting the puck to just, to, if anyone investigates, to know that I have the skills.
Okay.
Pull it up.
We'll talk to, I know Nolan, who works in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. He works with the Raiders. And then, you know, Rob, who works with the Wheat Kings. We'll I'll put a couple of feelers out and say, hey, listen, if you want, there's a guy, we know a guy that's willing to help you out. So
it would be amazing. I'd be on the next plane.
Sure. Yeah, we'll get that going. Then we'll talk to them for sure. So again, back to the book a little bit. I know you went over all the jerseys in the book, which I thought were, some of them were hilarious in terms of some of your reviews. And I really appreciated some of the talk about that. Let's start with one that's more near and dear to your heart, though, because it didn't get reviewed, obviously, because it's not being worn. But the Cleveland Barons, I loved some of the smaller things about the Barons jerseys. For example, the TV numbers and the state of Ohio on the sleeves. Like, I feel like jerseys today just miss those easy wins, I'll call them, when in terms of building like good community support. Do you agree, disagree?
Yeah, completely. I mean, I obviously with the NHL, you know, they're trying to make something that's going to appeal to everybody, you know, children, old ladies, so they play it just so safe. And, you know, I think the jerseys, they suffer. They're, you know, there's some really good NHL jerseys, but there's, most of them are just really tame and boring. I mean, the Vegas Golden Knights, you have the Knights and you have like this logo. You should have a deranged knight, like with a flail or a mace, just like smacking some other knight's head in, you know? And then instead they just have this gold helmet that to me, it looks like the logo for like a car alarm system.
Yeah.
Like if you got a car alarm installed at some like strip mall thing, and then they're like, well, you're all set. And then they slap a sticker on the back of your car. That's what their logo looks like to me. I mean, Tampa Bay Lightning it looks like someone just grabbed some clip art of Lightning, was like, okay, this is good enough, right? Completely boring. And they don't even, and the, just the color, what they're called, they don't even, ugh, horrible.
Did you prefer them when they were in black and had that sort of more elaborate logo then for the Lightning?
Yeah, it's at least a little better, but it's just like, I mean, especially their away jerseys, the white jersey, that's just like, boring. And but I mean, you know, granted, they've done all right for themselves despite their horrible jerseys. I also don't like when teams, you know, like Pittsburgh, rather than having just like a bold yellow all the time, they have the, it looks like gray poupon or whatever.
Yes.
I don't understand what's going on.
So, I mean, you reviewed all 32, and I mean, we were happy. I mean, again, I'm not going to spoil it for anybody who wants to buy the book and read the book, because I mean, I think you did a great job on that. But a couple more jerseys, if you want to rapid fire on these, your thoughts on them, because I mean, again, we talk about jerseys repeatedly on our show just because we're always like, who would buy this? Like, this is ridiculous. So, what did you think of the Oilers wearing the Todd McFarlane sort of oil drop jerseys back in the 90s and then bringing them back a couple of years ago?
I like the oil drop jersey. I think that's I have a soft spot for the Oilers because that was like, you know, when Gretzky and Yari Curry and Messier and that you know, when they were winning the cup and all that, that's like, you know, I was a kid and just so it was such an exciting time. So I love that era of their jerseys. I mean, their jersey with the jerseys where they have like all orange, I think we're horrified. Are they? I haven't seen what they're doing this season yet, but
they went back to blue this season, thankfully.
But, okay, so it's back. Yeah, those all orange jerseys were completely just horrifying. I mean, yes. Kind of in an awesome way, because it was just so bad that I think, as I write in the book, I'm like, eventually the other team just stops showing up altogether.
Yeah,
so they don't correct. Have to see that jersey. I think the classic, the sort of 80s 90s jersey. I have one of those are badass. I
do as well. Yeah, so I mean, that's what I was asking about. The Calgary Flames flaming horse jersey, aka their blasty jersey. Frankly, I hate it, but I mean, I'm asking you, so.
Yeah, it's really bad. I mean, it's okay. Like, there's a horse and there's horses on fire or whatever. You know, I feel bad for the horse, but if that were their only jersey, I'd be like, oh, that's pretty cool. It's okay. But then when you see that their main, you know, just the sea that's on fire.
Yeah.
Then you're like, well, what are you even doing? Like, this this other jersey sucks. I mean, you could do an alternate jersey that was cool, that had a horse or whatever, but that's not it. No. I don't know. I feel bad like ripping on the jerseys, because I know there's an artist who did it and stuff, but
well, but at some point, also, but at some point, you know, though, that artist. Yeah, I was gonna say, at some point though, that artists, if they got, you know, art hanging in a museum, somebody's gonna come by and, oh, this is not my for my tastes or whatever. So
yeah, they can probably handle it.
Yeah, exactly. Islanders fish. I know you're an Islanders fan, but the Islanders fisherman jersey, are you a fan or not?
It's horrible, but I'm also at the same time kind of a fan, because I think it looks like the Gordon's fish sticks guy.
Yes,
as I'm not the first person to say that, but I think. It's really bad, but at the same time, I do get a kick out of it on some level. I don't think they should ever wear it. If I had one, I would wear it around my apartment and probably be pretty psyched, but I wouldn't walk outside in it.
Okay. I have a Casperitis one, so I'm pretty psyched, but so I get excited about it whenever I see it. I'm always like, ah, fisherman, but finally,
I mean, it's, you know, there's, yeah, he's up there, he's steering his boat or whatever. I take it back. I'm pro. I like that jersey. I don't know. I guess I just like the original one much better.
100% agree with that. I mean, that one's better. So, finally, the Rangers Lady Liberty jerseys, where they had the Statue of Liberty on the front.
I don't. It's not very good. I just like the classic,
right?
You know, jersey. I mean, I think they could try to do something different, but the Lady Liberty, like, I mean, if you're gonna do a New York, you know, something from New York, like, I don't know, they're put like Port Authority bus station on it or something, you know.
That would make a statement. I like that. That's a good idea.
Yeah, that would be cooler, I think.
I know you got a closet full of jerseys. You know, lots of different ones, lots of fun ones. Is there a next jersey that has to be added? Have you sort of been like, that's the next one I'm going to get?
I kind of want, I mean, just offhand, because I was just in Calgary. I would love to get a Calgary Hitmen jersey.
Okay.
But it's my preference to get the jersey, like, I either like to get it at a game.
Yeah.
Or have it just be some old jersey like that I get on eBay that was just like in someone's basement or something,
right?
It has, you know, it has some weird funk on it. You know, I try to avoid, like, my Winnipeg Jets jersey, like with the old school logo, like that one's like I got it on eBay and it's like that weird, like, kind of shiny, like 70s 80s like jersey material, like jersey material.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Sateen, like, or whatever kind of weird polyester it is.
Yeah. And it's got like some weird brown, like rust stains on it, just stains of indeterminate or origin that I like. And so I like that kind of like a funky old jersey that tells a story, even though the story may be disturbing. But sometimes I'll break down and just order you know, I've ordered a few, like, I got a Quebec Remparts jersey that I just ordered online. And are you wearing one right now?
Yeah, I got my...
Oh my gosh, I didn't even see that. Yeah.
I'm not a Quebec hockey, like, I'm not a Quebec league fan at all, but the Remparts jersey is just timeless. Like, it's awesome. So
it's amazing. Yeah. And it's like, you know, for me, like the Guy Lafleur connection, I had to have one.
Yeah. So,
and if you go, I haven't pulled the trigger on this yet because I have too much stuff in my apartment, but they make a t-shirt that's like in the Nordiques color. That's like the Rempart, but instead, and it looks like Nordiques, so it's pretty bad. Now, having said that, there's also like a Nordiques jersey in the Avalanche colors too,
yeah,
which isn't as cool as a Nordiques jersey, which I also have, but I kind of want one of those too.
Yeah, I mean, when they introduced that in that reverse retro sort of theme or whatever, I was like, oh man, like, it feels like you're dancing on the grave of somebody, because I mean, they're not the Nordiques, but I mean, they're still technically the franchise, right? So,
yeah, yeah. I mean, just because of the Nordiques connection, and obviously, you know, they're an easy team to root for. I've been sort of like, oh, maybe I'll kind of like develop a bit more of a soft spot for the Avalanche, but it's not easy. I think if they just made their, I don't like the colors really. I don't like the They just need to like tweak the colors to be more badass. I don't like, you know, just like a, I don't know. Now we're getting into just full
design. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they started out darker when they first were the Avalanche, when they were first named. All the colors were like the burgundy was a lot darker. The blue was a lot darker, and they seem to be lightening things up as time goes on for some reason. I don't know why, but.
Yeah, I don't like that. Make it darker or brighter, but when they make it lighter, just kind of like it starts to look like some like 70s living room, yeah, or something. I don't understand what's going on.
We got a few minutes left here, Dave. I'm going to ask you the toughest question of the entire setup here. It's the one that you asked everybody. So why, in your opinion, isn't hockey more popular in the United States after speaking to everybody?
I mean, I think there's just the obvious things of that we don't have enough naturally occurring ice, outdoor rinks, frozen ponds for kids to play real easily. And, you know, the sport's expensive to get into. So there's a sort of obvious reasons that I'd hope there was some like other reason that I could figure out and then just like, you know, just spread the word like, hey, I fixed everything. But those are, I think, the main ones. But really, just this past week being in Canada, I started to think, well, it could be like some lingering, you know, because it's the sport was invented in Canada. Maybe it's just Americans can't handle loving something that, you know, wasn't invented in America. Maybe it's just some weird anti-Canadian sentiment. I hate to even bring it up because I, you know, I don't want to cause trouble. But I mean, I'm disappointed in my fellow Americans and, you know, maybe that's it. I think we're, you know, we're a deeply flawed country, and there's probably a few things ahead of hockey not being popular enough that, right, I would fix, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know, once those things are taken care of, without getting into what those things are, I would then let's get to work on hockey.
I thought Brian Trottier's answer was right. Like, you know, the northern states are certainly doing well, and it's sort of working its way down. Like you said, maybe it's sort of a gradual growth thing. Do you think that's the truth there?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, like, you know, when you look at expansion teams, you know, over the years, and also like, you know, just even look at the makeup of the players in the league, you know, like every year there's less and less Canadians, more Americans.
Last bit of business. How can people find you on social media if they want to meet the man, the myth, the legend? Where do they go?
You go to Mr. Dave Hill. MR Dave Hill is my social media thing across the board. And then DaveHillOnline.com is my website.
Perfect. Dave, enjoy the rest of the day. Have fun talking hockey. We will catch up whenever we can, but your door is always open if you want to come back.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
No problem. You too. Take it easy.
So there is Dave Hill, the author of The Awesome Game, published by Penguin Random House. And again, it's in stores right now if you're looking for it. You can find it all over the place, major bookstores, haberdasheries, vendors where books are sold, libraries. Hopefully we'll have it shortly, but fantastic read from Dave in terms of just hearing about some of the stories, some of the places that he went. Again, we established in the interview he was in Estonia, he was in Finland, he was in Kenya, he went all over, Poland. It's one of those things where I liken it to a little bit of Dave Bedini's book, where he traveled all over the place, but it was Tropic of Hockey, and literally discovered the game at different places and different points in terms of, you know, people playing it, people finding a common bond in it. It sounds like Dave found a common bond with a lot of people in hockey, around hockey, through hockey, as he traveled the world there. Dave's a great guy. Again, you might know him better as a comedian, a radio host, a musician, an actor, maybe a former hockey star if you played hockey alongside him in Cleveland. But Dave's doing some incredible work, and certainly the book is going to be on a few Christmas lists this year. I highly recommend it. My rating for it is 4.5 out of 5. The only reason it gets 4.5, just because, again, he doesn't like the Penguins very much, doesn't like anybody from Pittsburgh very much, and I'm a Penguins fan, but I don't fault him for that too much. Being born in Cleveland, that's kind of, the way that things go. We're going to leave you with Dave's song now. Dave actually wrote a song all about the Awesome Game, all about his book, that you can hear in a few moments here. We're going to put that on for you. It'll carry us out here tonight on The Hockey Show, but if you need anything, you want to find anything that'll entertain you for a few days in terms of reading stuff, Dave Hill's The Awesome Game, published by Penguin Random House. Fantastic and absolutely recommended by The Hockey Show and by Teebs. So with that, folks, we're out of here. Stay tuned. Skippy coming up after Dave Hill's The Awesome Game song. Stay tuned for that as we get set for another long week of hockey action. Jason's back next week. We'll have everything back in order in terms of getting ready. We might even have a special guest dropping by at some point. But with all of that, folks, it'll all happen again next week on Thursday at 5:30 right here on 101.5 UMFM. It's The Hockey Show. Thanks for tuning in. Always a pleasure to have you around. Make sure you check out Dave Hill's new book, The Awesome Game, because this game is awesome.
The Awesome Game is my book about hockey. And if you like hockey, I know that you will love it. And even if you don't like hockey, you'll love it. Even if you don't like sports, I still think that you should read it, of course. The literary classics, so put it in your basket at your local bookstore. It's available in all formats, even one I never heard of. The Awesome Game. Did I mention that I traveled all over the world playing hockey, watching hockey, and talking with people about hockey? I should also tell you, I even went to Kenya to play with some guys who live there. We call the Kenya Ice Lions, and we're really good friends now. It's a testament to the greatness of the game. It brings people together. All right, I'll rip a solo. Me. And hey, you over there, yeah, hockey's for you too. The Awesome Game, you better read it or I will be enraged. The Awesome Game, I promise you will love every single page. The Awesome Game, the Awesome Game, the Awesome Game. The Awesome Game, the Awesome Game, the Awesome Game.
So you understand the situation here.
You're listening to CJUM FM 101.5 megahertz on the FM dial from Winnipeg.
And that is how you do that.
Amazing.
That was kind of impressive.